Good morning. I thank God for the opportunity and great responsibility of sharing the Word of God today. Let's thank again our worship team here. Pastor Frank called me on Tuesday, and he told me that Pastor Graham cannot preach today, and so he asked me to preach. So, you know, from that time on, I started really working on this, and but we'd like to thank and pray for Pastor Graham right now. He had his surgery last Thursday, and let's pray for a quick recovery. Pastor G, if you're watching in our streaming, Woodbridge Church is praying for you. We love you, okay? Shall we all rise as we read the scripture coming from Revelations 5, 9 to 14, and you could also see that in this wall here. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain by your blood. You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders of the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much for that wonderful truth that one day, one time, we will be in that scenario, that we will be worshiping you. We will be bowing our heads. Lord, may our worship starts right now, in this very moment, so we will be ready worshiping you forever. Thank you so much, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all be seated. I'll be speaking about worship and missions, how they are so intertwined together. You know, I always joke around when I introduce myself at our Meet the Pastors Fellowship. When I say I'm the worship and missions pastor of WCC, or Woodbridge Community Church, I immediately say I won't run out of job. I have a security of tenure. You know, here in this world, we do missions. Our mission is reaching the world for Jesus Christ. And in heaven, we will worship him forever. So my job is secured forever. Hallelujah. Seriously, we see how worship and missions are very close linked to each other. Looking back in my 50 years, I have seen how God prepared me in the ministries he entrusted me today. And again, I'd like to underline this. And it's all about his grace and mercy. I know John is always happy to say mercy, because mercy is his wife there, you know. But you know, it's all about his grace and mercy. How he kept me to understand the cross of Jesus and how I need him daily. Every day in awe of his love, mercy and grace and forgiveness. That God is good and his love endures forever. Without him, I can't even picture myself where I am today. I'd like to show you some pictures, because I'll be honest to you. I'm 50 years old. Yeah. That was me when, you know what, I only guessed when they asked me what age was I at that time when we had our birthday celebration. I think I was 4 at that time, okay? And we were singing. That's my dad there. And yeah, that church, it's still there. And we love visiting that church. So my brothers and sister, and we've been always singing for the Lord. Where am I there? I'm the youngest, so I'm the smallest there. Yeah. Here's our family picture. We were singing for the Lord at an early age, at churches, evangelistic meetings, Bible studies, wherever my dad is preaching and leading people to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Dad is an evangelist. He preaches sermons that I have heard many, many times. If you grew up in a church, right, the evangelistic message is one, right? Which is powerful. I already know his stories and his punchlines. I know when his voice goes up or when it goes down. But you know, I never get tired of seeing people surrendering their lives to Jesus as they come to the altar, confessing of their sins and confessing Jesus as their God. It's always a wonderful sight for me. For a sinner repenting of his or her sins and bowing down and worshiping the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Only eternity will tell how many lives were brought to him through dad and mom's ministry. And I know there'll be a great rejoicing for eternity. I grew up in ministry. Dad and mom were sold out to the faith they believed in and are sold out as they reared us in this truth. Then at a very young age, I personally understood the great love of God, punctuated in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Nothing can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I accepted Jesus when I was 6 years old. I was crying. I knew that I was a sinner. That age. I knew that I was a sinner. I need someone to save me. I was the only one in front of the altar at that time. My dad and my mom were the happiest. Even I was the only one who came forward. I'm not saying I understand it all, because I have been a Christian for many years. I still have many things to learn to grasp the wide and depth of the love of Christ to me every day. Christianity is a day-to-day surrender to his Lordship. And one thing I'm learning, I'm always learning, the more I know Christ, the more I understand that I don't know him. And I will know him more throughout eternity. The great thing I know, and we know as Christians, and it's written in red all over the scripture, is that his mercy is new every morning, and his love endures forever. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection power. This is why I worship God. This is why we worship God as a community. This is why I lead people to worship him in singing together with our faithful worship team. And again, I'd like to praise God for our worship team. Can we give them a round of applause? I also would like to praise God for our worship team. There in the balcony, our guys were helping us to communicate clearly what God is telling us right now. Because deep down, we want to worship God. And what is worship? And we could write this down. Worship is the devotion of our hearts and lives to God because of what Jesus did on the cross. We could write that down. Worship is the devotion of our hearts and lives to God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Tozer, one of my favorite theologian and author, says, "We must never rest until everything inside us worships God." In Revelation 5, for the great coming's gathering, can you picture yourself where you will be in this scene? There in the presence of God, there in the presence of the angelic host, and all created beings. And we are part of that great multitude because we are the ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And who will worship God and sing this new song? "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain by your blood. You ransomed people for God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." But again, who's the focus of this great and wonderful celebration? He is the Lamb of God who was slain, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. The focus is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Amen? Amen. It all points to what Jesus did on the cross. He is the center of our worship. As a worship minister, my goal every Sunday is to bring you to the cross of Christ and understand the forgiveness of our sins and his resurrection power. This is the truth that changes lives. This is the truth that we declare. This is what could change this world. And we firmly believe that. This is worthy of eternal praise because we are made to worship God. Worship is the devotion of our hearts and lives to God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's always go back to the cross, and I will always point you to the cross when we lead worship here. Now the question is, why don't we fully worship God? Why many people, even Christians, don't know what true worship is? Why? Because we worship many things instead of worshiping the one who created us to worship him. Regardless if it is intentional or not, we worship something or someone, replacing him. Remember, our innate being is to worship. We are made to worship. We will never be satisfied until we put God there in the altar of our hearts. Until we put God there, we can never understand what true worship means. Someone said, "Man is a God-shaped vacuum," and we've heard this many, many times. Nothing can fit in the void space of our heart, only God. In the article that I read, it says, and I don't want to just single out the millennials here, okay? I'm just quoting from the article that I read. In a survey of millennials, 50% of young adults said that a major life goal was to become famous. In the past, people wanted to be famous for doing something. Now, celebrity has become an end in itself. It has attained godlike characteristics. Not only do people want to be famous, they idolize those who have achieved celebrity status. This widespread interest in famous individuals has been described as the cult of celebrity. It is a prominent social phenomenon of Western popular culture. And he added, "Fame to the ambitious, it's like salt water to the thirsty. The more you get, the more you want." A very famous female singer once said, "I won't be happy until I am as famous as God." This leads us to our second point, and it's totally opposite to the world's pursuit. Worship is never about us. It's all about Him. Worship is never about us. It's all about Him. Correcting that famous singer, she will never be happy until she puts God there in that void space in her life. And I believe she's becoming kind of spiritual and looking for that. I pray that she really finds Jesus Christ, whom she is looking. By default, the natural me wants to worship me. This is the very heart of Lucifer. When he fell and became Satan, it is his pride. This is also the very heart of the fall of man. We want to be like God and be independent from him, to have our own way. I want to worship me. As the poem says, I am the captain of my soul. As the song says, I did it my way. Unfortunately, this is really sad, but truly happened in the Philippines. People were killed by singing, I did it my way. I don't know if you've heard it. It's about 6 people now were killed because of singing, I did it my way. In a karaoke bar in 2007, a security guard didn't like the person singing the song, I did it my way, because he wants his way. He shot the person dead. So sad. It's now dubbed as my way killings. What are the things we worship? What are the things we worship? Sports? Our children? Okay. Materials, wealth. First and foremost, we worship ourselves. Right? I know you've quoted so many things, very beautiful things. I just counted some few here. Self, people, actor and actresses. But I think the hardest, you know, battle is self. Fame, wealth, drugs, alcohol, pornography. That's why this world is a wreck. These are sure ingredients of a shipwrecked life. Praise God, we have Woodbridge Community Church, because we punctuated our series on shipwreck, knowing Jesus is the anchor of our soul, for us not to be shipwrecked. Worship is never about us, it's all about Him. You really want to be happy? You want to experience the abundant life Jesus is offering? Then let's get rid of all these things we worship and let's put Jesus in His rightful place on the altar of our hearts. Now it calls me to sing, on the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. And we say, Jesus, Son of God, you laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. Jesus, Son of God. It's so much good and right then. I did it my way. Right? This leads us to the next point. Worship is powerfully expressed in singing. Hallelujah, there's music. I think we now have a clue why the music industry is billions of dollar business. Music is an expression of worship. It speaks of what's in the heart, soul, and mind of a person. I'm always amazed to see 2-year-old kids, or even one or less, when they hear music or you play music to them, you see them swaying. Or they start humming or singing with the song. No one taught them. There's something innate in us when we hear music. King David wrote many songs of praise and worship to God. He even danced into it. And next Sunday, we'll be doing a lot of dancing with our Shuva Israel group. He wrote and compiled 150 psalms. Songwriters quote from psalms in writing new worship songs. It is interesting to note that the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119, with 176 verses speaking about God's word. King David loves God and his word. That's why he put it in a song. He's a solid theologian. He's right on. There is something in worship through songs. Moses glorified God in songs. In the Old Testament, you will read expression of songs of people rejoicing and worshiping God. Jesus and the disciples sang hymns and worship songs. The apostle sang hymns in prison cells. And in the end, in Revelation 5, the declaration of Christ's exaltation is through a new song. How many of us in this congregation can testify that God used worship songs in your life to lift you up from your toughest situation in life? Right? Our God used a song to bring us back to Him. I remember during our toughest times when Lelot was literally in bed for 6 months. And I've been always telling you this, and I won't stop telling you this because this is so precious to me and it's a testimony of who God is. We always sing Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. In your presence, and I will follow, in your presence, because we elevate him, we put Jesus where he's supposed to be, in the midst of our pain. And we say, in your presence there is power. In your presence there is peace. In your presence there is healing. I've shared that with you many, many times. This was my holiest praise and worship time. God, Lelot, and me, worshiping in pain, but with God's special presence in our lives. Now, this worship truth and experience should not be kept. Your Jesus cross-centered worship should be extended as we participate in God's movement throughout the world. Thus, worship moves us to missions. Worship gives birth to missions. Companies have mission statement, right? And what is the mission statement of Woodbridge Community Church? Woodbridge Community Church exists to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Why? Because we know who Jesus is and we worship Jesus. Worship moves us to missions. We should not stop sharing the love of God. We should not stop sharing the forgiveness He has given to us. This is the good news, and the world should hear. Worship is not only singing, but living. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So this is our spiritual worship. What is your personal mission statement? I pray that at the end of this service, you will have a clear personal mission statement. God has prepared you with all your experiences, good or bad, because in God, everything He makes good. Your skills, your talents, and your gifts. When you come to worship Him at the feet of the cross, all of these will be your tools, so your bodies will be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. These bodies will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you will be witnesses in the world. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." You know what? This is a very, very wonderful mission statement, right? We do missions because we understand what true worship is. Mission starts and ends in worship. Look at our church, brothers and sisters. We are beginning to see the Revelation 9 scene from every tribe and language and people and nation. We worship the Lamb who was slain. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. This is amazing grace. From the last count we did, we are represented here from 22 countries. This is every tribe, language, and people and nation. This call is not for the future. This call is now. This call is for you and me. Missions is where you are right now. And I praise God for our brothers and sisters there in that room listening to us, translating this message for them to understand in their language. Hallelujah, right? And we will be praising God for this, that we will bring as many people as we can to join us in that wonderful, wonderful celebration that God has in store for us. That's why we have also 29 missionaries we support. Let's continue to pray and financially support the World Missions Endeavorers, our church. Last Sunday, you heard our missionary from Japan. We have missionaries working in India, China, African countries, Philippines, and other countries we don't want to mention because of security reason. I am involved in a mission agency called Far East Broadcasting Company for about 30 years now. We do Christian broadcast media to over 150 languages as we do this part in sharing the gospel to every tribe, language, people, and nation. That's why if you don't see me here on Sundays, I'm not gallivanting somewhere. I am called by FEBC to share our missions to others. Actually, I'll be gone in April for about a month because of our mission. The Lord is bringing us to Korea, Thailand, and Myanmar. This is also the reason why we do our annual Philippine missions trip. After the service, we will have our first informational meeting. You're welcome to join us. I don't know what room now. I thought it's conference room. But anyway, just look for me. We'll look for the room. Now, we have another ministry that we are so happy, which we started in the light of the great need of education in the Philippines. We call it I-320. I would like to call our brother. Actually, my brother John is a very, very faithful brother. Actually, we always pray every Sunday before we do worship. And I'd like to call him for this. John, I'll give you this microphone here.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. I'm here to talk about I-320, but I wanted to say something real quick about your message about worship. It's been something that I've been really thinking about as I read the word, and I totally want to echo and say amen to the fact that it's all about God. So if it's all about God, then the less of me, then the more of God. And one of the verses I really like is Galatians 5:17, which says that the flesh and the spirit are always in opposition with each other. Meaning my flesh, my natural desire is always in opposition, not sometimes, but always in opposition to what God wants. So if I really want to worship God, then I have to constantly and intentionally surrender my flesh. And I thank God for, like, Galatians 2:20, that I can do that because of Jesus' life in me. I can say, God, I choose to surrender my life to you right now, and it's all about him at that point. So I just want to say amen to that part. Worship is all about, so in that sense, I remember Sterling shared a few months ago about worship in doing, like, even cleaning the bathroom. And in whether it's in singing, missions, or our everyday life, as believers, we have an opportunity to worship God. And real quick, yesterday, I got my mail, and I was like, a company sent me a credit card. And I was like, what? I didn't apply for this credit card. And so I called the company, and it turns out that someone applied for the credit card in my name, and basically I was the victim of identity theft, which is the first time I've ever had that happen. And, you know, I was at first, you know, kind of panicking and alarmed, but even in that, you know, I just calmed myself down. I said, Lord, be glorified. And in every situation, whether good or bad, actually bad is one of the best ways, challenges in life, to worship God. So I just wanted to say that. Now with I-320, if you haven't heard yet, I-320 is an educational scholarship program benefiting underprivileged children in the Philippines in two areas, two physical areas. One is Metro Manila, and the other is in a place called Cabacungan, which is in the province, a different island in the Philippines. It provides education, and they learn things about health, nutrition. Meals are provided for the needy, and most importantly, they hear the gospel because it's Christian-based programs. So that's what I-320 is, and if you choose to sponsor a child, it's $400 a year, and the upcoming school year for the Philippines starts in June. So we're at the end of the current school year. So that's why we're relaunching this for the start of the 2017-2018 school year in the Philippines. And I wanted to thank everyone who did sponsor a child for the last school year, current school year. We had 39 children sponsored. And I wanted to pass on a big thanks. Yeah. Praise God. So Pastor Steve at IRC and Sister Edna at BCA, who are overseeing those programs, wanted to pass on their thanks. It has been a huge help for them. So if you did sponsor last year, pray before the Lord. If you choose to renew, you will have the opportunity to renew. Let us know if you do choose to. If you choose to renew, please let us know by May 1st, so it's before the June school year. But in addition to that, we have 19 additional children or students available for sponsorship, and there will be a booth at the lobby after service that you can stop by. Even if you can't at this point financially support, you can come by, read the profiles, and you'll know how to pray for them. And if you want to get more information, it's also in your flyers, but there's a website in the Woodbridge website. Under the mission section, you can find out more information, or you can stop by and ask me anytime. Thanks.
Thank you, John. You know, this wonderful ministry is an expression of our worship to him, the reason why we are doing what we are doing, right? And just to let you know, this project is on top and above the mission support that we are giving to our 29 missionaries. I just want to give you a picture, just give you the vision of what God is doing. If we want to worship, we're going to support this mission's work, right? So we ask for your continued support to the ministry, to the mission's work we are doing. So for my conclusion, I told you on the outset that worship and missions is so linked together. We are doing our missions work because we worship Jesus. Permit me to end in this verse, and permit me to quote it from Psalm, from the Message version. You know what? I was having my devotion and during my birthday, and these words popped up to me, came out to me. Verses 22 and 24, not really getting all the full 24 verses, or 22 and 24, but I'd like to highlight these truths. Here's the story I tell my friends when they come to worship and punctuate it with hallelujahs. Shout hallelujah, you God worshipers. You know what? That's the word that was ringing in my heart during my birthday, because that's what God calls me to do. I'll be encouraging each one of you to shout hallelujah, hallelujah, because of what Christ did on the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we will declare that truth throughout eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us this truth. That's why we have this passion, O Lord, to worship you. Our passion is to shout hallelujah deep within our hearts and to invite as many people as we can to join us in shouting hallelujah because of the cross of Christ. Father, thank you so much for your great love to us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, that we could be forgiven of our sins. This world can be forgiven. And we see the power of the resurrected Christ. Father, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.